Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shoftim Yotches, the 18th Perek of Shoftim, and yesterday we just finished learning about the story of Micha and the way in which he had been rescued by Moshe Rabbeinu. He was able to build himself a beautiful Beit Elohim and a pesel to go along with it, despite a little hanky-panky and stealing money from his mom, and managed to bring in an Ish Levi. That would be a Kohen, which showed him that God was truly with him. This Micha, you will recall, was the center of Achnasat Orchim in the entire area, and ends up becoming the place in which the expansion of Dan, of course, remember that all of this is an introduction to the period. Abayamim Ahimim Melech Bisrael Isha Yashar Beinav Yaaseh, the end of Shimshon, beginning of the next period of Isha Yashar Beinav Yaaseh, and ongoing again at the beginning of this parak with the very same introduction. So that the last thing that we had learned before the story of Micha was how it was that Shevet Dan had been making a shofet, who was Holech Acharinav, and this shofet is referred to later by Shmuel as Bidan, and this was the entire brocha of Dan. Yidan Nachash Aliderach, this is all a reference. The Shvifon, reference to Shimshon, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem in the middle of the Broch of Yaakov Avinu, that there was something that was directly connected to Dan as the Maaseh for Kol HaMachanot in the life of Shimshon, the absorber of all of the Machanot. And now at the very end of the period of the Nachala, just as in Yehoshua, the last Nachala was the Nachala of Dan, so too the story of Shoftim ends with Dan needing to expand the Nachala that they had never successfully conquered in Drom Haaretz, and to be Mekayim the Nevuah Yizanek min HaBashan, so that they needed to go up to the Bashan and find themselves an extended Yerusha, far from Tzara'ah and Eshta'ol, the haunts of Shimshon, all the way up to the Mikorot of the Yarden, which you will recall is called Yarden, Al Shem Shiyored Midan. It comes down from the area of Dan, the area of the Banias, or Pamias in that days, and it was there that they built the center of Dan. And of course, it was there that there was ultimately the Avodah Zarah that Dan was making, the Agalot, that Yeravam ben Nevat, Nevat being the same as this Micha, who began with the story of the eagle as they crossed the Yamsuf. And it was this that Avram Avinu had seen when he was Vayirdov ad Dan, and he could go no further because he was so weakened by the horror of what was to be in Dan. The first glimmerings of this tale, of what was to be ultimately that which destroyed the Aseres HaShvatim's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Agolos that prevented Dan, that prevented Bnei Yisrael from going from the area of Dan and the other Shvatim, other than Yehuda and Binyamin, that began here in the house of Micha. And so begins our perek, Bayomim Ahim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. So as we've pointed out, everything that is done here has a parallel to the story of Yehuda itself. And so, Bayabim Ahimei Melech Bisrael, and it just so happened in those days when there was no Melech, Uvayamim Ahim Shevet Adani, Mivakesh Lo Nachala LaShevet. This tribe of Dan was searching for a place where they could live. Kilo Nafla Lo Adayom Ahu Betoch Shiftei Yisrael Benachala. For until that day, they had never really found themselves a Nachala, because the original Nachala, though we find, of course, there were some cities that they did have, however, the Yerusha was not Mechubeshet in front of them, as it says Beferish in Yehoshua, Vayatzagvul b'nei Dan mehem, because they couldn't conquer it. And this story in Yehoshua was actually what we're learning here. And so therefore, it would be reasonable to assume that, of course, this is all out of order, and that this story actually occurred at the beginning of the Sefer. However, as we've said, what's important here is the picture that is being built up in these last few prakim of the state of Klal Yisrael as it enters into a period in which it can no longer survive without becoming an integrated nation, without achieving a malchus, and without basically growing up. The school days and the adolescent days must be coming to an end. Vayishlachu v'nei Dan mimishpachtam chamisha anashim mikitzotam. And so B'nei Dan sent from their mishpacha. What's interesting is, of course, it was only one mishpacha in B'nei Dan, which is why by Shimshon it says mimishpachot adani. That mishpacha was Chushim ben Dan. Chushim ben Dan was another one of the strange parallels to the Ke'echad Shiftei Yisrael, Yadin Amo. Dan is the equivalent of Yehuda in every way. Kimiyuchad b'shvatim. So too, just as Yehuda was the one who finished Esav off, as the Midrash says. It was Hushim ben Dan who was the one that had taken the first move against Esav. Vayishlachu b'nei Dan mimishpachtam chamisha anashim. And so the b'nei Dan sent from the mishpacha of Hushim ben Dan 5 people biktzotam from the katsinim, the ones that were most chashuv in their family. Anashim b'nei Chayil, strong soldiers from the cities of Tzora and Eshta'ol, which was the place where they had settled in the south, l'ragel et ha'aretz, to go and once again look around as spies the areas that had not as yet been conquered up north, where no one really had yet even looked at to conquer. U'l'chakra, and to examine and look into whether that may be the place where they should go. Vayomru aleyem lechu chikru et ha'aretz, go out, analyze the land, vayavo har Ephraim ad beit micha, vayalinu sham. And they too decided to go. Where else does one go when they're on the way? Whenever you're on a trip, you have to go through that area. You take Har Ephraim, which of course, as we've seen, does not mean the mountain of the Shevet of Ephraim necessarily, but that entire range that goes all the way up, and you travel along it as you're going up the Bikat HaYarden to your left. And so they came to the house of Micha and stayed over in the Micha hotel. Hema im Beit Micha. So they were there enjoying themselves, but suddenly they hear a voice that they recall. Vehema hikiru et kol hanar halevi. That's amazing. We know that voice. Of course they knew that voice because this is one of the most famous people. He wasn't just some little boy. He was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, as we'll see. Vayasuru sham, and so they turned to the temple where perhaps it was in his room, where he was obviously singing, chanting. Vayomru lo, and they said to him, what the heck? Mi eviacha halom, who the heck got you to a place like this? Umata sebezeh, what are you doing with this? Malachapo, what, a place like this, you? Now you'll notice, of course, that all of this repetition, as the Gemara points out, sounds awfully familiar, because each one of these words was exactly what was said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Niyaviyacha halom, exactly the first words God says to Moshe when he first meets him. Altikrav halom. Next thing he says is either the Misampela Adam, which is Malachapo, or Atapo Amodi Madi, which is Malachapo, and he said also Mazebiadecha, which is exactly what they said to him. What is this? What are you doing? Baze. So says the Gemara, what they were saying is, now wait a minute, we know who you are. You are the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, for heaven's sakes, and we'll see that is exactly how he's identified later. What in the world would bring you to a crazy place like this to be a coin for this nut with his ridiculous idol? Vayomer aleihem, he said, well, you know, he made me a hell of a good offer. Kazov v'chazeh asali micha, and, you know, I got a heavy-duty job. Vayiskereini, vehila lechoein, he hired me, and I am now a coin. What do you think about that? Now, of course, this whole thing is absolutely mad. They're screaming at him for being Oved Avodah Zarah. He says it's a good job. And then they say, Vayomer lo sha'al na b'Elohim. Go ask God if you're a Kohen. And use your Urim V'tumim there. V'neida'a, so we can find out atatzliach b'arkeinu asher anachto ochim aleha. Is the road that we are going upon a correct one so that we can win this war? And he says to them, Vayomer lehem ha'Kohen. Lechu l'shalom. Nochach Adonai darkechem asher techuba. Go in peace. God is fully aware, and it is in his presence that you walk the path that you are walking. Notice that he says to them, will you forget this garbage? I'm not going to ask this piece of chunk. I can tell you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fully in favor of people that are going to go and be Yorish Eretz Yisrael. They're certainly not going to talk to this thing. Did they intend him to? Didn't they just scream at him for worshipping Avodah Zarah? This entire thing is an absolutely weird story. And you remember that yesterday we read Vayoel Alevi Lashevet et Ha'ish, which is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did to Yitro. Yitro, Vayoel Moshe Lashevet et Ha'ish. And you know what Vayoel means, according to the Gemara? Ein Yoel Alalashon Shvu'ah. He actually swore. What did he swear? Well, Yitro said, look, you know, you can marry, but I marry my daughter, but I don't want any cult people like you, you Jews. So if you agree that the firstborn should be sent to a seminary of Avodah Zarah, so if you send him to a Catholic seminary, then I give you my daughter. And Moshe swears, and indeed the Medrash points out, okay, you want to send your kid to a Catholic seminary, so you'll have a grandson who is Oved Avodah Zarah. And as we pointed out before, this grandson lives, and we're going to mention it soon at the end of the parak, he lasts all the way through the Golos Haaretz of the Aseres HaShvatim. David HaMelech ends up appointing him to the head of the treasury. Shlomo HaMelech is the one who fires him. I mean, this is amazing. Asks the Yerushalmi, how do we understand this? A guy who's sitting here worshiping Avodah Zarah? What kind of schus would he have? So this is a fantastic story that brings out the entire relationship to the local cult worship of these various gods and how completely not serious it was among Bnei Yisrael. More like a minhag alone. His schus, the Yerushalmi says, is that when anybody would come in and would say, well, I want to bring an offering to this pesel you got over here and this pesel mich. So the guy would say to him, bring an offering to this thing? What the heck would you want to bring an offering for? It doesn't eat, it doesn't smell, it doesn't see, it doesn't think, it can't do a damn thing for you. So, I'll tell you what though, what you could do is you could bring some, I don't know, maybe some waffles and we'll make a little breakfast and I'll take care of it. And then the guy would do that and he would just eat it himself. So one day some guy comes over to him and says to him, you know, if you really don't believe in any of this stuff, what in the world are you doing working here? And he says, it's a great job, man. And that, of course, is Merumah's here. It's exactly what he tells the B'nai Dan. Of course, this is ridiculous. It's a good job. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, if you come from Moshe Rabbeinu, how could you take a job like this? So he said to them, Kach mikublani mibeit avi abba, I have this actually as a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Lo'olam yaskir adam atzmo la'avodah zarah va'yitzterech libriot. It's better to hire yourself out to the church rather than taking charity. So what did you expect me to do? It's the best job I got. Now he, says the Gemara, he thought that Moshe Rabbeinu meant avodah zarah. But of course, he didn't really mean Avodah Zarah. He meant Avodah Shezarah Lo. He meant to do something which is alien to your sensibilities. Even become a cab driver. Or as the Gemara puts it, Pshot Nevelata Bashuka. Sit there stripping carcasses in public and don't say, I'm a great man, I have to. This is not suitable work for someone like me, and I need to take charity. Of course, this entire story implies from the very beginning that Moshe Rabbeinu's pulling Micha out, Moshe Rabbeinu's willingness to engage with Yitro on the basis of the Tanai, Moshe Rabbeinu's teaching to his grandson that ended up having his grandson being the Kohen to Pesel Micha, implies in fact an approach that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu himself, that was meant to belittle the dangers of religion, cultic religion, throughout the Deres, and that what it was that he was doing, in fact, was saying that Avodah Zarah is no different than Avodah Zarah Lo. The whole point of Avodah Shabbai is that it's you. And the whole point of Avodah Zarah is that Elohim Acherim. They are Acherim Lovdeim, different than you. And in their indifference, indeed, can have no connection to you. So that going through the motions of the interrelationship with symbolism, without taking that symbolism seriously at all, was something that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to deal with in the Yom Suf. And the place that we see that in the Yom Suf is the nature of a psak halacha, which is brought, mamish in the Shulchan Aruch, to be very careful when you're saying the Shirat HaYam, and you read the pasuk Mikomocha Be'elim Hashem Mikomocha Nedar Bakodesh, not to say Mikomocha, because then it would be a remez to Micha, Pesel Micha. What that shows us is that the nature of metaphor and comparisons, I mean, that pasuk is a crazy pasuk. Who is like you, O God, among the gods? What is that supposed to mean? There aren't any comparisons. There aren't gods. But that's exactly what it was that Moshe Rabbeinu was interested in being Iker from Yisrael. And there's a very subtle line over here in what it was that this boy was attempting to achieve in teaching people not to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. And even the Bnei Dan, who are laughing at the same time that they're laughing at him for doing this, are saying, okay, so let's do the little formula over here. And he says, I'll cut it out. It's a mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu be with you. All of this points to the strangeness, to the alien sense that alien Avodah Zarah really has for Yisrael, even as they go through the motions of playing along with the local religions. So this is a tremendous Yerida, but it also shows us tremendous dargas of zechuyos, things that Moshe Rabbeinu himself had in mind as the prime fighter of Pa'or, that was mentioned earlier. Is it not bad enough that we have the Avon of Pa'or, as Bnei Yisrael said, to the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven? And he, his kever, was connected to Pa'or. And so, this is his grandson now, who is both Nichshal in Avodah Zarah and Zoche for being the paradigm. In the end, his name is changed to Shavuel, because he was Shav La'el Bekol Kocho, the paradigm of Teshuvah, when the need for that Parnassah was taken away by David, who appointed him Negid Al Ha'otzarot. And so, from there the five men, the Meraglim, these were the same idea. Dan, once again, has to do what Yisrael does. Yisrael sends Meraglim, they send Meraglim. They see a nation living there in peace. Yoshevet levetach, there they were, completely secure, happy people. Kemishpat Sidonim, they were like the Sidonim, who are known as the Phoenicians, basically the Canaanim, who live along the coast of Tyre and the Lebanon coast. And before Bnei Yisrael had invaded that area in the Galil, that was basically one long part of Phoenician territory. And as Bnei Yisrael started jutting up north, they divided between the coast and between the area that was inland to the east, leaving these people in the Laish area alone, but secure. They had no natural enemies. There were no predators, so to speak. Vein machlim davar ba'aretz. There was no one around who would in any way even insult them. These were peaceful people, not fighting people, not even fighting in verbal exchanges. And there were no yoresh etzer. There was nobody who would be now an heir that could come and fight Dan if Dan would take over the territory. They were far away from the Phoenician center. And they had nothing. They had no treaties. They had no people that would come to their aid, basically waiting to be picked. And so the spies come back to Tzora Ve'eshtol. Their brothers there said to them, "Nu, ma'atem." So, where are we at, guys? Give it to us. Look how they paraphrase the words of the Meraglim and Kalev and Yoshua. Kira'inu et aretz v'nei tova ma'od. Exactly what they had said. Tova haaretz ma'od ma'od. Ve'atem machshim. Just the words that Yoshua had screamed at everyone. Why are you so lazy? What's taking you so long to be Yoresh? You guys are sitting around blabbing instead of doing what we need to do. Let's just go. When you get there, you're going to come to a secure people who have absolutely no suspicions. It's a big place, lots of territory. God has given it to you. Exactly the words, Eretz asher lo techsor kol bo, a land in which you will lack for nothing. So they feel that they are doing now the biggest mitzvah of Yerusha Sa'aretz along the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, along the words of Yoshua, along the words of the greatest of the Meraglim that survived the Midbar, including Kalev. And so indeed, just as Klal Yisrael went with 600,000, they brought from Tzora Neshtol 600 ish, Chogor Klei Milchama, ready to fight. And so they stayed in what is today the Telstone area, Kiryat Yarim, that was in Yehuda. Amazing, because of course Kiryat Yarim is exactly where David HaMelech brought the Orein HaBris from. And it was they, as we will see, who are the ones that created an alternative worship in which people would not go to Yerushalayim, to the Aron HaBrit, to the Orein that was brought from Kiryat Yarim. There are many, many hints as to the future a long, long range future in these few psukim of our park. And this was such an important movement. You'd think, what's so important about that? The movement of Dan through Yehuda to be able to conquer Laish was seen as a historic event, and the name of the town where they had stayed was called Dan Encampment until today. And from there they went, Bisham Vayavru Mishamar Ephraim Vayavo at Beit Micha. And they came indeed once again to the hotel, the house of Micha. The ones, the five that had originally gone up towards Laish to be the spies, they tell their brothers, as they're coming now to this whole spread out holding of Micha, where he's got his little temple and his friends, and he's got the little room there for his Levi. So they say to their brothers, Hayadatem ki yesh babatim ha'ela efodu trafim ufesu lamasecha? Now, would you believe it? That right here, one of these houses, there is everything that we need to set up a vibrant community. Yep, yep, yep. We can have our own little shtibel of our own. V'yata de'umatasu. And so, figure out what to do, boys. V'yasuru sham, and so they go to the place where they had the ephod and trafim, and the boy was keeping it in his house for safekeeping. V'yavo el beit hanar ha'levi, beit Micha. And so they came to the room of the Levi boy in Micha's holding. V'yishalula l'shalom, and the five go in, and they talk to him as they've already had the whole conversation with him that we had at the beginning of the parak. V'sheish me'ot ish chagurim klei milchamtam nitzavim petach hashar. But the other 600 guys who are all dressed ready to fight, they are at the gates. Hashem ibn Dan. V'ayalu chameshet anashim okim l'ragel et ha'aretz. And so now, getting, first we just said over the overall story. Now, here's the details. So the five guys that had gone originally to Ragel, they went into his house. So they were bo shama, l'kut ha'pesu v'tefod v'tatrafim v'tamasecha. They told the boy, oh, go outside, there's people there. Meanwhile, the boy is outside. V'akoyin itzav petach hashar. To meet the 600 ish chagur klei milchama, 600 men are standing out there. Now, meanwhile, these guys, velu bo beit micha vayichud pesel efod v'tatrafim v'tamasecha. The five boys came, brought out all of the stuff that was in his house, and they walk out, and here the kohen sees them, the 600 guys behind, and says, what the heck? Vayomer lehem hakohen, ma atem osim? What are you doing? Vayomer lo, and they said to him, shh, quiet. Just put your finger to your mouth, buddy. Come with us. You can be a teacher in our community. You can be the Kohen. What, this job is good for you? This is small potatoes. What do you want to be? Some kind of private shtibel? Or you could be a Kohen l'shevet u'lemishpacha b'Yisrael. You could be famous, man. We could set you up in the big time. We're going over to take over some territory. We'll set up new community, put the church right in the middle. Vayitav Leva Kohen, when he realized that all of this was being done actually for him, not against him, he suddenly was very much in favor of the mood, of the move. Vayikachat ha'ifod v'tatrafim v'tapasel. And so he takes all of the things, vayavo b'kerav ha'am, and there he is, together with the rest of the 600 men. Vayifnu, and they turn vayalechu, and they're on their way marching to Laish. Vayasimut ha'taf v'tamikne v'takvuda lefnehem. And so they put the kids and all of the things that they had brought and the heavy bags in front of them instead of where it would normally go in the back because they were afraid they were going to be attacked by the Micha family and all of his friends when it came to light what they had done. Sure enough, heba yirchiku mebeit Micha. They had left the Beit Micha, and Hashem HaShababatim HaShem Beit Micha nizaku v'yadbiku et b'nei Dan. And Micha, meanwhile, had gathered together all of his friends, because, I mean, after all, the center of the community had been stolen. V'yikru'u el b'nei Dan, and they shout out to the b'nei Dan. V'yasebu b'neihem, and the b'nei Dan turn around to face them. V'yomer l'micha, malacha kiniz akta? You got some kind of problem that you're gathering people? V'yomer, he says, do I have a problem? You gotta be kidding. Et Elohai asher asiti lekachtem. You took the gods that I made. Veta Kohen walked off with my Kohen. Vatelchu. Umali od. What could be worse than that? You gotta be out of your minds. Mazet umru elai malach. What kind of question is that? Do I have a problem? Do I have a problem? Vayomru elav b'nei Dan. And so the b'nei Dan said to him, listen, buddy, We're going to make you a deal you can't refuse. We're going to let you live. We're going to let your family live. But you're going to shut up. And we got very good advice for you. Al tashma kochai manu. Please, please, don't bother us with your noisy voice. Pen yivgu bechem anashim marei nefesh. We've got a lot of very bitter people here. These are people that don't like noise. If you do that, suicidal. V'asafta nafshcha, I mean, it's just like taking your own life. V'nefesh bektecha and your family. You wouldn't want to do that, now would you? Not very pleasant people, these B'nai Dan, nor do they consider themselves very pleasant. Bitter of soul they are. V'yelchu B'nai Dan ledarkam, and they turned around and walked away. V'yar micha kakazakim eima mimenun. Micha sort of got that message. V'yifen v'yashav al beito, and so he indeed turns around and goes back to his house. V'hima laku et asher asam micha, they took all the garbage that micha had made, v'et hakohen asher hayalo, together with the coin that was his, Vayavo Alayish, and there they came to Laish, which had been called Leshem in Yoshua. Leshem is indeed the stone on the ephod that is the stone of Dan. For this area had been meant for Dan Yizadek ben Abashan from the beginning. But these were not nice people. Oh no. There was no king. There was no central army. There was no one to teach the dinim of Kriyat Shalom, of giving people an opportunity to make peace and to indeed join. And instead, they went and murdered an Am Shoketu Voteach, a quiet and secure people who had no quarrel with anyone in the world. Vayaku otam lefichariv and murdered them. Ve'eta ir sarfu va'esh and burnt down their city. Ve'in matzil, there was no one to save the poor souls. Ki rechokahi mitzidon, for it was far from Sidon. Ve'davarim ha'imim adam, and they had no treaties with anybody. If it was in the Emek HaChula, right at the very northern part, going up to the mountain, by the area of Beit Rehov, and Vayivnu et ha'ir ve'yeshvu ba, and so they rebuilt that city, and settled it, and they called the name of the city Dan, which none of the other Shvatim had done. And their city was called Dan b'shem Dan Aviyem, Asher Yulad Yisrael. This was the original Dan, the Dan that had been given to Yisrael himself. Now the Medrash says that the reason that this is mentioned is because indeed Yaakov Avinu had been told that his children are going to be like Goyim, because we find that Yaakov Avinu is really said, that is really told the words, Goy uka'al Goyim yemimcha. And so says the Medrash, that means your children are going to be acting like Goyim, worshipping Avodah Zarah with the kind of midot that Goyim have. And indeed, from that moment on that he had said that, there was waiting for this terrible moment in which this was the Dan, says Reb Smaloi, this was the Dan that Yisrael had been waiting for, the ones that he knew were destined to be like the Goyim around them. And so they called the city, I'll shame that Dan. But indeed, Laish, Ulam Laish, Shema Ir L'Rishona, that used to be the peaceful city of Laish, which of course is another name for lion, which is Adan Gure Aryeh, Yizanek bin Habashan. Vayakimu lehem b'nei Dan et ha-pasel, and so b'nei Dan set up that pasel. And Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe, Yonatan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe, the nun in the pasuk is written above the letters because of the fact that they wanted to cover it, that it wasn't Moshe, because of the fact that he acted exactly the way Menashe had acted in the future to bring into Klal Yisrael Avodah Zarah. And indeed, the Midrash tells us that as Menashe was taken to Bavel, Pesel Micha was brought along with Menashe. And just as he was called originally Mimishpachat Yehuda, because they were the ones who were making Menashe, the relationship here is the Nun to Moshe that becomes Menashe. Hu uvanav ayu kohanim l'shevet adani ad yom galot haaretz. They were Kohanim until the very, very end, in which the land went into Galut. And the Medrash says, does a land go into Galut? Is it not the people that go into Galut? And the Medrash answers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael is called the very earth. V'ishru etchem kol ha-goyim, ki tiyu atem eretz chefetz. Atem tikar'u eretz chefetz. You will be called the very earth, the salt of the earth. And it is as if the land itself went into Galut, when Yisrael went into Galut. V'yasimu lahem et pesel micha, asher asa ko yemei heyot beit ha-elohim b'shilo. And so all of the days that Mishkan Shiloh stood, say Chazal, the smoke from Pesel Micha and the smoke from Mishkan Shiloh would mix one with the other. And the Malachi Asharis desired so much to destroy the whole scene with Pesel Micha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's a mokum of tzedakah. And it's a mokum where pat is mitzuyala orchim. And it must not be destroyed. So there was something about all of that period. Until the 22nd year of Menashe, when Menashe was sent to Bavel, says the Seder Eilam, Pesel Shel Micha went together with Menashe. Vayikimu lehem b'nei Dan et ha-Pesel ad yom gelot ha-aretz itself.